I want you to know this Jesus of whom I speak is alive, lives perpetually, and he saves completely. In verse 25, he saves to the uttermost. I love that word, uttermost. And when he speaks about being saved to the uttermost, he's talking about the completeness that we have when we come to this Jesus. That's the point of the matter. He was trying to tell us that it was at the throne of grace that Christ made atonement for our sin, but it was also at the throne of God's grace that God's grace is dispensed to all believers for every issue and need of life.
Sometimes I just miss the point, and I have to ask the Lord to refocus me. The message today, the point of the matter, helps us do that very thing. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist. And today's message, The Point of the Matter, takes us to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, as we gain insight and perspective on how we can continue to refocus ourselves to get to the point. The point of the matter. Today's message, actually the next couple of days' message, will be featuring these wonderful teachings, and we'd love to put resources in your hand that will help you dig deeper into this study. You can meet with us on our website at theencouragingword.org. You'll not only hear this program, see other opportunities to watch and listen to Dr. Don's messages, but also connect with us for prayer and more. That's online at theencouragingword.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Our Father, we've got urgent business to deal with. We have very, very serious matters to consider. We are such a blessed people. And yet in the midst of all our blessings, more and more people are turning their backs on you. And especially in America. Right here in our hometown. And Father, we are wondering about the future judgment. We've got so many questions, Lord. We're wondering about when Jesus Christ will come again. We're wondering about the world in which we live. And Father, in the midst of all of this, we're looking at ourselves in this world in which we live, a world of incredible beauty. And yet such chaos, a world in which there are many blessings amidst all the many needs of life. And yet there are so many people searching for truth. And Father, today as we open the book of life, this wonderful word, we're going to ask you to speak to us. And there are people right now who need Jesus. And so we pray that by your Holy Spirit you would open our hearts. You'd open the eyes of our understanding. And Lord, right now I'm praying for somebody who would give their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm praying for somebody who this time tomorrow will be dead. And I'm praying, Lord, that they would just simply fall asleep in you. Because when they do die, that they would be taken up into heaven instantly. Because they have repented of their sin, confessed their sin to Jesus Christ, have trusted you as Savior and Lord. This is about you, Lord Jesus. Speak to us. Our ball games are over. Some won and some lost. But Father, we're about to speak about eternal things that will last forever. And so, Father, come upon us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say to you, I've got something that I want to tell you about, and they begin to talk, and they talk a lot, maybe even too much in your considered opinion. And finally, you look at them and you say, now, what exactly is it that you're saying? And they say, well, what I'm saying is this. Here's the point of the matter. Here's the bottom line. We do that with our sons and daughters, don't we? Most parents are great negotiators and compromisers with their children because we love them. We play ring around the rosies with our children. We know what's right, we know what's wrong, but Today, in our day and age, we know that you have to negotiate with them, and eventually get to the point where negotiation is a thing of the past. And you look at your son or your daughter and you just simply say, because I said so, here's the point. My favorite question that I ask all the time is, are there any further questions? Which means I'm actually not open to any further questions. You know, we all know that, don't we? Here's the point of the matter. Look at chapter 8 and verse 1 of the book of Hebrews. That's how this incredible chapter begins. Now, the point of what we are saying is this, that we have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister, a one who serves in holy places, in the true tabernacle, the true church, the true dwelling place that the Lord set up, wasn't built by architects and builders. This is not the one that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. God didn't have to give it to anybody. It just came from Him. Any further questions? So go to verse 3. For every high priest is appointed by man to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all. How could he be? Jesus was not a Levite. He was and is God. And since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, they serve a copy and mere shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to build the tabernacle, he was instructed by God, saying, "See, you make everything according to the pattern that was shown to you on the mountain." Got to go back to the book of Exodus to read about all of that, specifically in Exodus chapter 25. Verse 6, "But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is more excellent than the old covenant. He mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second covenant. If what God did when He gave the old covenant and all the laws and the rules and the regulation, if God intended you to hang, to carry around relics in your hand and to wash your hands all the time and to do all kinds of legal things and to follow the law and to toe the line, if God intended that to be the way in which you have peace with God, so be it. But that was incomplete. It was insufficient. It wasn't enough, and people couldn't keep up with it. Is there anybody listening to me today who can toe the line to the letter of the law? Not one of us can do that. So we're going to fail. So God gave a better way. He said, "I'm going to give you Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You need to lay your relics down. You need to stop trying to find God through your rituals. You need to stop worshiping your church building." Nothing worse in God's economy than when someone believes that a stained glass window is more important than Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Verse 7. "For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second." And then from verse 8, he quotes the prophet Jeremiah, which is an incredible prophecy. Wish I had time to unpack this. I do a lot of this in our study of Revelation at 5 o'clock every Sunday night. This is what he quotes. This is Jeremiah. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers." Watch this, America, listen to this. "One day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt." Can you imagine that? That God would have taken them by the hand, led them out of Egypt, "but they did not continue in my covenant, said the Lord. And so I no longer showed any concern toward them." In other words, because they were not faithful to me, I no longer had very much to do with them, if anything at all. In fact, I would not let them come into my presence because they were sinning repeatedly against me. I really believe in America that we are about to face a very severe judgment from God if we continue on the track that we're on today. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. They shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquity, and I'll remember their sins no more. So it is, if you want to get the point, in speaking of the new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. The point is, here's the point, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he loves you. He came and he died on a cross for you and for me. I'm a Christian man, I've given my heart to Jesus. This is about Jesus. Not about church or about rules or regulations or who done it, who skinned the cat or who got bitten by the dog when you were 24. This is about Jesus. I just want you to know, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are set free. You are forgiven completely. God is telling us that the new covenant through the blood of Jesus is where you and I need to be. I'm there. I want to invite you to come there too. In speaking of the new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Now, the point of the matter is this. In the previous study, in chapter 7, I'm just making this, just reminding some of you, in the previous study, in chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, there were four truths about Jesus. I'm just going to pop them out real quick. I can't camp on this because we've already dealt with chapter 7. Number one, Bible told us in verse 24 that Jesus lives perpetually. So watch this, folks. Jesus is alive. I've just come back from Europe. Do you know that it was in Athens in the book of Acts? I stood right there on Mars Hill at the Areopagus just last week and I preached. There were thousands of people around. We gathered and I just simply preached. I spoke about this thing that was going on in Athens in Paul's time. The philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoics, these supernaturalists, these pagan worshipers that erected tombs and temples to unknown gods. They were everywhere in Europe. They were all over the place. They temples to unknown gods, unnamed gods. And these Epicureans and the Stoics, they came at Paul and they argued with him. Oh, they said, okay, we'll believe in some form of God. We'll believe, but it doesn't matter. Call him by whatever you want. Can be a him or a her or a thing. It doesn't matter. We believe in some kind of divine higher power, whatever it is. But we don't believe whatever it is has anything to do with us on earth. And by the way, the Stoics said, when we die anyway, we just go to dust. We just come to an end. We just fade away. I mean, it's just the end of all of that. And so the Epicureans and the Stoics, they came and bombarded him. And so Paul looked at them and said, you're wrong. And what did he do on Mars Hill in the book of Acts? He just simply began to open up and talk to them about this Jesus. He spoke about the God of creation and the God of revelation and the God of restoration, the God of reconciliation and the God of invitation. He spoke about this God who lives eternally. He said, you're wrong. There is no unknown God. That monument is nothing but brick and stone. All you're doing is worshiping a football made of leather. I want you to know this Jesus of whom I speak is alive, lives perpetually, and he saves completely. In verse 25, he saves to the uttermost. I love that word, uttermost. And when he speaks about being saved to the uttermost, he's talking about the completeness that we have when we come to this Jesus. That's the point of the matter. He was trying to tell us that it was at the throne of grace that Christ made atonement for our sin, but it was also at the throne of God's grace that God's grace is dispensed to all believers for every issue and need of life.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, and he's got a great deal more to come on this message, The Point of the Matter, in just a few moments. But one of the things that helps us stay on point, to stay focused and living for Christ, is spending time every day in the Word of God. Thank you so much for joining us for this daily podcast, broadcast, however you're listening to it. It's a wonderful encouragement in my life, and I pray in yours as well. But there's also the written word that might be a nudge to you like it is to me. You can sign up right now on our website at theencouragingword.org to receive an email from Dr. Wilton, a wonderfully prayed over, thought through bit of God's word and an insight about God's word that will help fuel your day. Again, it's one of those things, takes maybe a minute and a half to 2 minutes to read it, then spend some time in prayer. We deliver that to you in a number of different ways. If you go to our website, you can sign up to receive it emailophonically right now online at theencouragingword.org. You'll start receiving it tomorrow, or you can give us a call to get a hard copy. We have a wonderful booklet that has 3 months of the Daily Encouraging Word included. It's free for the asking if you call 866-899-WORD. Again, that number is 866-899-9673. And not only would we love to connect you with that Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide, but we'd also love to pray with you and for you. If there's something going on in your life that you'd like to have a friend encourage you, it's what we're here for. 866-899-9673. And since it's Monday, let me remind you that tonight at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, we'll be sharing a video version of Dr. Don's message, not this same message, but a different one that I think will challenge you in a powerful way. I hope you'll join us. That's tonight, 6:30 p.m. Eastern on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Now back to today's message, The Point of the Matter with Dr. Don Wilton.
By the way, you give your life to Jesus, He's got you covered. Well, the third truth that we're given is that He intercedes continually. In verse 25, do you know, by the way, that Jesus speaks on our behalf? Wow, I've got an advocate with the Father. I like that. A representative. I have. I don't have to go out and hire somebody. I don't have to go to my priest or to my preacher. I don't have to go and make something out of it. He meets needs accordingly in the fourth instant. In verse 26, listen, here's what the bottom line is. I love that chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, the point in what we are saying is this. Two things. Number one, that the people did not remain faithful. That's what verse 9 tells us. You know, my friends, when I think about Israel, about the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt, we can talk about a lot of things. It's actually quite an epic story. How that God came and interceded and brought Moses and they were delivered from bondage into freedom. It's an epic story. And in fact, there's a summation of this drawing on what the prophet Jeremiah had to say in chapter 31. And I love that phrase, that God actually went down upon the people and took them by the hand. But they could not and would not be faithful to Him. How many times did the Israelites see the power of God made manifest in burning bushes, in food coming out of the sky, in the parting of seas, in the deliverance on the battlefield? And they would not remain faithful. And what was the result? The result was that God would no longer deal mercifully with them. He meted out His justice upon them. Now, I want you to think about this incredible country in which we live. Some of you need just a good dose of a place like Rome. I mean, these people all over, I've been all over the world, Their homes are small and everything's scrunched up and their food is awful. I'm telling you now, you get better Italian food at Olive Garden. Did I say that? No, it's wonderful. I'm just putting this. Come on, let's just be real, folks. Hey, let's do a little bragging here for a minute, can we? Why are we so quiet? I'll brag, man. I tell you, I'll put America up against anybody. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You want to, I mean, the streets and the landscape, the beauty of this place, most of all the people, the American people, man, I just want to get out there and give a bear hug. Every American I ever see. You know, when you're overseas and you hear someone speaking and you know they come from the same place you can, you just want to go up and smooch them right there in public. Get arrested. So what? You know, a few weeks in a Turkish jail, I mean, who cares? So let me tell you about America. This country was founded. We know the history of America. In God we trust. This country was founded upon the principles of God's word. Go and do your history. Our institutions were all established in the name of Jesus. This was established as a Christian, God-fearing nation. And in a sense, I'm speaking to you symbolically, in a sense, folks, I really believe, you look at the history of America today, God reached down and took us by the hand. You think of how many wars this nation has delivered other people from their bondage. How many wells have been dug? How much generosity comes out of America? The influence, the spirit that has come out of the heart of the American people. God took us and He just put His hand upon us. And we've become unfaithful. We've kicked Him out of our schools, our institutions, our homes, our lives. We've erected tombs to unknown gods. We become pagan worshipers. We're nothing but a bunch of Epicureans and Stoics. We all say, oh yeah, God's up there somewhere by whatever you call Him, but we don't believe and we play a game with God and we've started worshiping our stained glass windows. This is what He's talking about. Now the point of the matter is there are two big issues. Number one, the people did not remain faithful. And there are just far too many of our people that have not remained faithful to the Lord. And secondly, God turned away from them. By the way, can you turn God's mind? Yeah. Is it too late? No. I think God's sending us warning signs from everywhere. Is it not amazing to you folks that there can be a coalition of countries, I haven't got the number, led by the United States, coming against one terrorist group called ISIS, and we haven't even put a dent to stop them? What? What are we facing? But it's not over there. It's not just over there on the other side. It's right in here. It's where we are. There's hardly a day goes by we don't turn on the television, there's another school shooting. Do you know in Europe, folks, when you walk around in Europe, from Turkey to Greece to Italy to Austria, all these places, go and look how their children go to school, many of them. They little courtyards with cement little nothingnesses. They rammed in between, jammed on hillsides. They've got nowhere to play. Look at our schools. Trees, parks, ball fields. We've taken it so seriously, folks. We even have everything going on. It doesn't matter when it is. Everything's more important than worshiping the Lord. And yet with all of these blessings, every day we turn on television set, someone else has gone on the rampage at a school in America. I'm just trying to get to all the bottom of this.
That's a frightening thought, isn't it? That God would turn away. Here's the good news. Right now,
God is using this broadcast, this transmission of the Word of God to let you know He has not turned away from you. He is ready to receive you. We'd love to pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. No matter what you're going through, maybe you have questions, let us discover those answers in God's encouraging Word, the Bible itself, at 866-899-9673 or online at theencouragingword.org. And before we get away, here's Dr. Don Wilton again.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
If God's spoken to you in this time and you've given your heart to Christ or rededicated your life, you need to tell somebody. If you're plugged into a local church, tell them. Give them a call. Go be a part of that worship this Sunday. But if you don't have a local place to plug into, let us help you find one. Again, we'd love to pray with you in whatever level God stirred your heart. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And when you go to the website, you'll see a great deal about this wonderful book, Totally Secure.
You know, in all my years of sitting at the feet of Dr. Billy Graham, he said this to me. He said, Don, the most important thing in life is to know that you belong to Jesus. And then he said, the second most important thing is that you know that you belong to Jesus. He encouraged me to write this book, Totally Secure, to help you find the answers to these important questions. That's why he endorsed this book of mine. I want you to have a copy of this book. I want you to have the assurance that you are going to heaven. Please pick up the telephone right now and call the number on the screen and request your personal copy of Totally Secure. The Encouraging Word broadcast ministry is supported by viewers and listeners just like you who want to make a difference in the world. So thank you for requesting my book, Totally Secure. Your financial support enables us to continue moving forward for Christ.
That wraps up the Monday edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. But the point of the matter, a message we started today, will complete tomorrow at the same time. I hope you'll join us. Perhaps bring a friend. We'll look forward to studying God's encouraging word together. And between now and then, if we can encourage you, either keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org or on the phone, let's connect at 866-899-WORD.